Allow me to recreate verses 8 through 16 in 2 Samuel for you. God says to David, but God says to Richard, God says to Tad, God says to Willis, God says to Marilyn, I took you from the farm, from the country, from the suburbs, from the ghetto. I took you from a difficult childhood, from being bullied, from being harmed. I took you from a good childhood filled with love and happiness. I took you from illness. I took you from the loss of a loved one. I took you from anxiety and depression. I delivered you from rage and frustration, substance abuse, or self-harm, self-destruction. I took you from your happiest moments, the moments your smile radiated and blessed others. I took you from that place, and now you are here, a new place, a better place, a place of prosperity and love and safety and health, a place that you didn't dream was possible in the places that I took you from. My goodness did that. Not your smarts, not your connections, not your work ethic. My goodness did that. And I've always been with you. And I've always protected you along every step of the way. Whether you realized it or you didn't, I was there. In the car, I was beside you. When people were trying to hurt you, I had your back. When you were lonely and had no friends, I was with you. And now, because of your faithfulness, I will give you and your loved ones success. And you will go further in life than you ever thought possible. And on top of that, I will give you peace. Peace from drama and peace from those who would inflict harm upon you. Peace from ailments, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional. And I'm still not done, David, Sanford, Julie, Elizabeth. My greatest gift to you, because of my goodness, is legacy. Hear me. I will make sure that your labor, your work, your schoolwork, the work you do for pay, your church work, your reputation, your memory, they will all live on. Long after you're gone. It may be through your children. It may be through the work you've done at your job. It may be from the interactions you had with a neighbor or a loved one. Your legacy will live on. And what you build from this moment to the end of your days will last beyond you and will never be taken from you. That's verses 8 through 16 in the New Richard Translation. Now, some of you may be thinking to yourself, I'm not worthy of what God said to David. Let me remind you that the person God is saying this to in Scripture also used his privilege to steal a man's wife, to impregnate that man's wife, and then to set up her husband to be killed. Poof! This is the same person whose children tried to harm him and did harm each other. This is the same person who was given a command by God and deliberately disobeyed it anyway. God's goodness is not limited to our mistakes. And the foundation for all this goodness is love. A love that's freely given with no strings attached. A love that doesn't have to be earned, but it's offered to all. No matter what you've done, no matter what you said, no matter what you thought. I just read Psalm 136, and that first verse is, let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It was God's love that overlooked David's shortcomings, and it's God's love that overlooks our shortcomings. It doesn't matter how many times we fall short, God is still good. We were still blessed in the past, we're blessed in the future, and we'll be blessed today. Too many relationships in life are transactional, right? Which means you have to give to get. If you love me, then I will love you. If you earn my respect, I will give it to you. If you make coming to this event worth my while, then I will show up for you. But that's never been the relationship that God desires for us. Yes, we're called to serve God, but our obedience flows from God's love and not from the reward of giving to get. And David's response is going to be our response today. And I won't cover it all because I said I'd be quick. But verse 18 to 26 is probably among the most powerful prayers written in the Bible. And I want you to dwell on this prayer this week. I just want you to dwell on this statement. King David's response when God tells him all of this wonderful stuff. He says, "Who am I, sovereign Lord, and what is my family or my house that you have brought me this far?" In other words, what have I done to deserve this? Too many times in life, we all just expect good things. We expect to wake up the next day when we go to bed. We expect to leave the house and drive at high speeds every day and have people drive at high speeds around us and come back to our home safely, finding them the way we left them. God's goodness is what makes these things happen. And God has blessed us to enjoy lives that, while they're difficult at times, they're still blessed. If you know David's story, David starts out as an afterthought to his own father. Jesse has 8 sons. And here comes Samuel. Samuel is the equivalent of the president. And Samuel comes and he says to Jesse, "Hey, Jesse, one of your sons is going to be king. Bring them to the house. Get them out of the fields and bring them here." And Jesse brings every son but David. So Samuel comes and says, "Nah, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you, not you. Wait a second. Nope, he's not here. Do you have any more?" And then Jesse says, "Oh, there's one. He's out there dirty, tending the sheep." His father didn't even think that he was worthy to meet Samuel. But David was the king. And Samuel finds David and anoints him at that very moment to be king. And you think that from the moment his head gets all that beautiful oil on it, that everything turns out perfect. But it's 20 years. 20 years of trials and tribulations and hurt and pain and frustration from the moment he's anointed king until he's crowned king. David finds himself in the wilderness. He's on the run from Saul. He's about to be captured by the Philistines, and he has to act crazy. David has this turbulent 20-year existence to get to the place he always wanted to be, to his point B. But you know who was with him all the way? God. God was with him, and God's goodness sustained him through that time, the good and the bad. And on top of that, and all the sin he did, because of his obedience, Scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. His obedience and God's goodness lead to him having not only a great life for himself, but for the people around him. I think that we forget God's goodness sometimes. Some of us will say, "Yes, I do, Richard, I pray." But do you ever get in your car and think to yourself, "This might be the last time I'm in my car"? It's morbid, I know. It's morbid. And I don't want you to think that every day. But some of us just wake up, our eyes wake up, and we just expect that we're going to be able to walk. Even the small little things are indicators of God's goodness. Like, if you're a parent, remember, like, in kindergarten where your kid would give you, like, a Mother's Day card or a Father's Day card? It was all misspelled and colored and all crazy looking. Those were the greatest gifts, weren't they? Not because they cost thousands of dollars, but they were small tokens of love. The small things matter. So what I want you to do, here's where your index card and your pencil come into play. I want you to write down one thing, one example of the goodness of God in your life. People at home, you can write it in the chat if you want to, or you can type it in the Facebook chat. I want you to write one thing that testifies to the goodness of God in your life. Does anybody need a pencil? Oh, Betty and Dennis, you have? Thank you, Michael. He's such a good boy. But that's not all. We got time today. I need, yep, that's right. I need seven brave souls to come up here and read what's on your card. Seven. I'm not going to volunteer. I'm not going to pick you. But I need seven people who are ready to testify to the goodness of God. Right? Listen, if you want, come on up. Come on up. Actually, hold on a second. I just want to say one more thing. 2 weeks ago, I stood up here and I said, hey, remember Beth? Beth was worried about the cancer that was in her body. It was taken out, right? And she wasn't sure whether she would be okay or whether the cancer had spread. And 2 weeks ago, we found out that the cancer had not spread and she was cancer-free. That's the goodness of God. This week, Kim had surgery. And she and I talked, and she said, Richard, I'm fine. I know Kim. She's thinking about it, and try not to look at Kim, because Kim will probably cry. I'm trying not to look at her either. But she said she needed two surgeries on her kidney. Right? Jimmy gives me a text on Tuesday afternoon, says she doesn't need two. All she needed was one. And that the reason for the second surgery was handled in the first surgery. They didn't think that they could handle it in one, so they scheduled two. But it happened in one, so now she doesn't need another one for her kidney. That's the goodness of God. Right?
Sure is.
And this is what goes on here. Right? And listen, I know if you saw the survey, half of us like this, half of us like that. Some people don't like this, some people don't like that. Some of us were really critical, some of us were not. Some of us were neutral about everything. So many different things went on. That's cool. But no matter how different we are, one thing we can all agree on is God is good. And if God is good and we know that, everything else can be handled. I was going to give you a beautiful sermon from Revelation. Pick a side, lukewarm, God spits you out. Nah! Sorry, that was by Brooklyn. Nah! We don't need that. We need to know that God is good. And if God is good and God's love endures forever, there's nothing we can't do. I need seven. Seven people. Stand up for me. Listen, I'll pull you. Don't make me pull you. I got one. I got two. I got three. I got four. I got five. Six, seven. Keep coming. Keep coming. Anybody else? Anybody else? I got seven, but I need more. Anybody else? Hey! Anybody else? Anybody else want to testify to God's goodness? Okay. Oh, we got more. We got more. Come on down. I said seven. Seven is a holy number. We can go as many as we want. Ooh, come on, Libby. Ah, yeah. Look at you walking. Look at you walking, another miracle. All right. Now, the people who are at home, I'm going to say what they say. I'm going to parse what they say because we don't have a mic. So I'm going to start. I'm going to start there. I'm going to go all the way over. Dennis, Betty, take it over. Dennis has good health. Amen.
I've been through a major
surgery, then COVID, and the COVID caused atrial fibrillation.
What?
I ask that, has anyone ever had trouble breathing? Oh my God, how I appreciate my breath now. I couldn't breathe in the ER twice. So God has healed me. He's healed me. The breathing, I'm just so grateful.
Amen. Amen. God. Oh, Betty had COVID. She had a knee replacement. She had AFib from the COVID, but now she's fine. Praise God. No. You can, Miss Mabel, you can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Miss Mabel.
Amen.
That I'm able to just get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord. That's it.
Amen. Ms. Mabel's grateful for her 89 years of life and God protecting her. Amen. Amen. Listen, titanium is stronger than bone. Liz is happy that her daughter is healed from spinal trouble as she was young. Thankful for the doctors. Thankful for God for keeping her. Amazing. Rod. Rada's grandfather of the year, Micah, said that they're friends. Amen. Thank you, Rod.
You said only one, but...
Go.
I'm thankful that there's so many things. Gosh, since Matt passed, there's so many things. On the day, some of you know that on the day of his service, my sister had a stroke. While I was on the phone with her, that was such a miracle because I was able to call 911. We got there really fast. There's still prayers going on that we're going to move it together and things are going to work out. And, you know, that I know these miracles are going to happen. I've seen them and I believe them 100%. So every day I feel the strength. I feel your prayers. I feel God's gift of peace. So these are meant to be miracles in my life. Many.
Amen. Amen. I think some of y'all know that when Chris's sister Ronnie had a stroke on the phone with Chris the day of Matt's service, and we all kind of went into panic mode, but God spared her and healed her, and she's home now, and Chris is praying that they will be reunited together for the first time in, what, 50-something years? You haven't lived together for a long time.
Yeah, I was afraid.
That's why I said 50-something years. See, go with me, Chris. I'm kidding. I love you. I love you. Jeannie?
Well, actually, my entire life. I had a high school education. I retired when I was 59 and a half years old. I'm 81. I still enjoy an active, full life. I'm a mother of two, a grandmother of eight, and a great-grandmother of seven and a half.
That's a lot. Jeannie's thankful for her entire life and her beautiful family and the fact that she's still vibrant, more vibrant than I am at 81. God is good. That's Julie.
I'm blessed that 52 years ago, God put Sanford in my path.
Amen.
From that, we have three beautiful children, six beautiful grandchildren. And then 12 years ago, I had breast cancer. And on Friday, I had a phone with my doctor, and he said, Julie, you know, it's been over 10 years, and you're absolutely perfect. I said, yeah, but I don't do breakup season. So.
And that's a praise report. My God. Julie's thankful for Sanford and the family they've created and be saved from breast cancer for over 12 years. And still vibrant and vivacious too. Something in the water here. Bruce.
One word.
Keegan. Oh.
He can't verbalize, I'm your friend.
Yes, he can. Bruce's one-word blessing is Keegan, his grandson. Amazing. Libby?
I'm not sure.
Go.
I said, God has blessed my life in thousands of ways. Parents that set me with people.
Oh.
A husband that's my very best friend. Three beautiful daughters who are incredible. And an extended family that loves me and my family beyond measure. And a work colleague that doesn't feel like a job.
You got it all. Libby has it all. All. Great parents, wonderful partner, wonderful children, extended family, and a job that doesn't feel like work. Amazing. Frank. Amen. Frank's had it. She's beautiful, by the way. Frank is grateful for his grandkids, for the joy and the love that they have with each other. Amazing. There you go, Gabriel. Oh, amen. Gabriel is thankful to God for God being a healer to those who need to be healed. Beautiful. Anybody else? Anybody else? Floor's open. You guys can sit. If you, anybody else? Let's get a new crew up here. Come on, new crew. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. I know. I know. Don't look at your time. Don't look at your time. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at your watch. It's like hockey, right? Shift change. This is important, and I want to say this because when you're down and you need a reminder of just how good God is sometimes, and not only what God is doing in your life, but what God is doing in the people's lives, people that we see maybe once a week, say hey from a distance and we leave, God is moving, and we need to know that. Miss Grace. Amen. Really? Wow. Oh my God. Wow. Amen. Amen. Miss Grace is thankful for the healing of her daughter, and taking the family moving on after the loss of her son, and for her grandchildren who went to Nigeria and back unaccompanied, safely. God is good. Amen. Thank you, Ms. Grace. Mr. Hanson? I know, he always says that. Mr. Hanson's my daddy.
Thank you.
Amen. Bob is thankful for love and support of his friends and his church family through difficult times. Amen. Thank you, Bob. Mr. Hanson. Rose Stephanie? Rose is grateful for a new understanding of what healing means and for her parents and for Michael, who is alive and healthy. Anna?
Well, being a Texas girl, a lot of Western, the morals of Western, so I'll just say I'm thankful for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Amen. Anna is thankful for healing and new understanding of healing and for her grandbaby. I want to say that for those who do not have children, your legacy is just as important. And what you do for your friends, for your loved ones, and all the people you interact with have the same profound impact. I'm going to say, I'm going to give mine and then we're going to go. So the survey came, and Frank was the neutral party, because everyone knows and trusts Frank. Frank has the honest face, right? Who doesn't love Frank? I'm driving to Myrtle Beach, and Bruce sends me a text. He's like, and I'm like, what happened? He's like, oh, well, the survey's done. So I said, okay, nope, I'm driving to Myrtle Beach, I'll see you when I'm done. I saw the survey. And I was so devastated by it. I said to myself, God, all the sincere work that we all do and we've done over the years, and man, people just seem so unhappy. Like, God, what is this? Like, I should just hang this up. I can't do it, right? And my family doesn't know this, but as I looked at the water all week, I said to myself, man, I'm just not good enough. And I was going to come back to y'all and say, listen, I love you. I know we're trying to do this part-time thing, but clearly I'm not here. I'm not good at this. And I got a call the Monday I came back. I'm not going to say who it is, but if I gave too much information, y'all would all know who it is. But this person said, you know what I love about our church? I said, what? He said, you know what? We're different. We have different ideologies, different beliefs, different nationalities. But when I'm in need, I know my church family has my back. And then suddenly the survey didn't matter. We're different. We got different ideas of how church should be run and how to do that stuff. We'll figure it out together. But then I remember for the last 3 years, I've seen the goodness of the Lord in every single one of your faces. In every interaction, every smile, every laugh, every hug, every cry, every funeral, every celebration. We focus on what divides us instead of what unites us too often. And we focus on the bad in our lives rather than the good. I'm envious of Libby. Libby's life is wonderful. And I love it.
It's not all roses.
Well, no, it's not all roses, but man, if you can like your work, then you know you're doing something right. But God's goodness is within all of us. And we don't get enough time in the hour of power to be able to know what God is doing in each other's lives. How many? We have cancer survivors here. We have people who know how to do family right in here. That's a blessing for me because I didn't come from that. So to see people do family right in here is a blessing to me. We got differences, sure. Microaggressions, somebody wrote, maybe. But you know what I know? I know that there's nothing we can't do together. And there's nothing we can't do if Christ is at the center of what we do. So I'm encouraged today, and I'm thankful that you see the goodness of the Lord and that we all see the goodness of God moving in each other. Because that's the beauty of family. You get home, your family tells you about your day. Rose and I, Rose is a social work administrator, and I'm me. So we're at the dinner table telling horror stories back and forth. She usually does win. She's right. But you know what? It's just amazing to be family together. I get the privilege of knowing pretty much everything that goes on in your lives that you tell me. We don't get to know that with each other. So I pray from this that you spend a little bit more time with each other. Don't leave so fast. Get to know each other a little bit more because God is moving. And that testimony can be exactly what you need to be blessed.